Hello, race fans, and welcome to Disc Golf Daily. Today is Friday, March 29th, and it is time for Friday's Thought for the Weekend. Buckle up, we are grabbing onto the third rail of disc golf. Should trans women play in the FPO division? Do you think that trans women are really women and really female? If you are willing to accept people as their gender, then how can there even be a conversation? There is no peer-reviewed scientific evidence that trans women have a statistically significant advantage over cis women. As a society that believes in human rights, trans women need to be allowed to compete in the female division. Trans women that go through male puberty gain the advantage of larger bone structure, larger lungs, longer arms, and more strength and speed. There is no world in which it is fair for cis women to compete against trans women. Also, mental health concerns of trans athletes are important, but should not result in the unfair treatment of cis women. Both of these arguments are valid, and society and sports have not yet come to a conclusion as to which will be followed in the long term. This question is being put to the PDGA and the Pro Tour. They are in a tough spot, to be sure. I'd like to address both sides' legitimate concerns and propose a path forward that can be the least disruptive and the most inclusive until we determine the right outcome in this emotionally charged discussion. Also, for clarity, I will endeavor to use the terms cis women and trans women. Cis women are women whose birth sex matches their gender. Trans women are women whose birth sex does not match their gender. Cis women are disadvantaged versus trans women. I understand and accept that male puberty is different than female puberty. I understand that male puberty, in general, results in larger bones, muscles, lungs, and hearts. Also, one very limited study of military personnel shows that trans women are able to maintain muscle mass easier than cis women can build their muscle mass, seemingly giving an advantage to trans women. Another study of a limited group of Australian distance runners showed that after 12 months of hormone therapy, on average, their performance dropped by 12%. 12% is also the difference in times between men and women at the elite level of distance runners. A doctor that conducted that study said that trans women would maintain an advantage in some sports because they would in general be taller and have larger bones. She also pointed out that in some sports this would be a disadvantage because they had weaker muscles trying to move those larger bones. According to her, every sport needs to be looked at differently and do its own research. To put it bluntly, we do not know the answer. Using data, statistics, and time, science will figure this out. Or it is also possible that the courts will decide it using what they deem to be the best information available. Until either of these happens, we don't know the path that will be taken. If a trans woman wins a tournament, that does not mean that trans women have an advantage. It means that on that weekend, that competitor played the best and came out on top. It would be one data point in the conversation. Similarly, if there's a 70-degree day in Massachusetts in February, that is not proof of climate change. That is a data point that is collected and compiled with other data points. It is possible that the disc golf data will point to trans women having an unfair advantage. It is possible that it will point to trans women, after 24 months of hormone therapy, having lost any male advantage they had. Until we look at the data, we will not know. All right, let's play a game. You are going to pay $10 each time you play this game. I will pick a random number from 1 to 10. If you get it right, I'll give you your $10 back. If you guess 1 and get it wrong, you owe me another $10. If you guess any other number and get it wrong, you owe me $1 million. Yes, you should always guess 1 because the downside of missing with the other numbers is way too big. Obviously, you would prefer to not play this game, but the game is already underway. For me, that helps frame the question of letting trans women play in the FBO division or not. There is a likelihood of each path, and there is a cost caused by taking the wrong path. Including trans women means that they can play in the female division until it is proven that they have a statistically significant advantage. If we do this and get it right, no harm. If we do this and get it wrong, there has been harm to cis women. This is in the form of cash not earned, qualifier spots not won, and feeling disrespected and possibly not even wanting to compete. On the other hand, excluding trans women means that they cannot play in the female division until it is proven that they do not have a statistically significant advantage. If we do this and get it right, no harm. If we do this and get it wrong, there is no way to redo the tournaments they were excluded from, or predicting where they would have finished and the earnings they would have earned. Additionally, we will have taken a disparaged minority, many of whom are living with severe emotional stress, and made a devastating error which could cost us their future trust and involvement in disc golf. This would be irreparable harm. We have the choice of potentially harming a large group of people, a small amount, or harming a small group of people, a large amount. And there is a right answer. I'd like to share my personal journey on this. Terry Miller called me a couple years ago and asked my opinion, and I very quickly said inclusion is more important than fairness. After about a year of pondering, I switched my opinion to think that fairness is more important, especially in professional sports. It did not seem like too much to ask of trans women. Yes, I will accept who you are and love and appreciate you as the woman that you are, but because of this transition, you are not allowed to play female professional sports. Then about a month ago, I did a little more research on the hormone therapy lasting for 2 years, not to mention the surgery, and its effects, and I started to doubt my position. I think human rights are an important part of this equation also. I officially now have no idea where I stand on this issue. Save Women's Disc Golf is giving money to cis women that have lost earnings to trans women. In my opinion, they are doing the right thing, but they are doing it the wrong way. For example, earlier this week, they used the following language. A female player, quote, missed out on $299 of payout that was rightfully hers over her last two events due to a male competitor. The idea of correcting a perceived wrong is noble. However, doing it while not being accepting is actually causing a divide. I know their hearts are in the right place, but the way it is talked about is hurting the discussion. Saying that a trans woman is a man looks ignorant and builds up walls instead of fostering a discussion. On the flip side, if a cis woman talks about her opinion that trans women have an unfair advantage, this is not a reason to ostracize them. They should not lose standing within their sports governing bodies, and their sponsorship should not be in jeopardy. I've heard several trans women, in interviews, state that even having this discussion is transphobia. It is not. Calling it transphobia builds up walls instead of fostering a discussion. Let's build on the idea created by Saving Women's Disc Golf while leaving room for honest conversation, acceptance, and support. Let's make everything as right as possible while removing the feelings that some cis women have expressed where they wonder if they should even continue to compete. All women in disc golf should feel supported and appreciated. I would propose that the PDGA and DGPT create a pro-women's fund, and I would propose that trans women be allowed to play in the female divisions until science and/or the courts settle the issue. For each dollar that a trans woman earns, $1 would go into the fund. Once science and/or the courts have settled the issue, if it is determined that trans women have a significant advantage, then this money goes to the cis women that should have earned it, making them whole, albeit 3 years later so. Additionally, any cis woman that misses out on a qualifying spot due to a trans woman beating them for that spot should be included, if at all possible, as if they qualified, because this would be a harm that is not correctable in the future. However, if it is determined that trans women do not have a significant advantage, then this pro-women's fund will be spent to grow women's disc golf and educate about the inclusion of trans women in the FPO division. By my estimate, this would cost about $100,000 over 3 years, divided up between the PDGA and the Pro Tour. That's about $17,500 each for 3 years. That's a lot cheaper than legal fees, and it shows support to cis women, as they'll be made right if trans women have an unfair advantage. It also shows support and dignity for trans women, because the presumption is that they do not have an unfair advantage. I believe this is the best possible path to a very difficult problem that has no clear solution, and I put it to the PDGA and DGPT to support women's disc golf and make it happen. That's it for us today. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Texas States. If you have any thoughts, news, or comments, shoot us an email at discgolfdaily@aol.com. Have fun, throw them straight, and hit the thin gap.